Let's use this to recap the last 7-8 prakim. Haprakim ha'achroinim, the last chapters that we learned here, danu deal with hashloisha b'shlilas ha'atzvus u'b'hasagas ha'simcha. How to get rid of depression and the acquisition of joy. Tchila hisbanu. First we explained, Loma kol kach chashuv liyasameach. Why is it important? Who cares? Why do we have to be happy? Who says that simcha is required? Now, it happens to be a pasuk in the Torah. In addition, the Arizal, for instance, writes that all of his attainments in Ruchnius were due to the fact that he was b'simcha. So, you know, that it doesn't require a whole lot more of, more proof than that. But why is it important? So he explains here in the parentheses, Kedei shenia zrizim, because without joy, one cannot have zrizas, alacrity, a geshmak, v'nucha linatzeh b'mavak hayom yomi, that's modern Hebrew. And how to win the battle, day in and day out, the daily battles with the Yetzer Hara. Without simcha, one cannot win those battles. Achakach, after that, meaning after the chapter that dealt with that, hisbarnu madua ein tzorich liyos'atzuv minyanim gashmiyim. First of all, why it is ridiculous to be upset, to be depressed about physical things. In parentheses, hakol l'tova, one reason is, everything ultimately is for the good. The second is, gam hayisurim, even pain itself atones for things, and there are other purposes, other accomplishments, in why one should not be upset by inyanim gashmi and by physical things that are not going well. In addition, madua ein tzorich lipo la'atzvus kitoytzah ma'averus. Now let's deal with another fundamental thing, and that is, okay, what if we're not depressed about physical things, but we're depressed about spiritual stuff? Isn't that noble? I'm down on myself about the averus I did, so that, you know, now I'm a good guy, right? He says, "Anechting tug." First of all, in the parentheses, "Cheshben anefesh tzorach las is bizman shenikva mirosh." Like we discussed last week at Shal Shodis, you want to deal with your averus, set a designated time for it. It's not done when the Yetzer Hara wants it done. It's done when we set a time to have it done. And if we didn't set that time, then it's not coming from the Yetzer Tov. V'loy lo seis lemachshavis lishlid banu, not to allow random thought to rule over us. What's more, madua leitzarach lihisatzev mikach shadayin yesh lanu hirhurei taiva. Again, one of the common things that we struggle with is, at this point in my life, I'm almost, 50 years old, shouldn't I be beyond certain appetites and temptations? Shouldn't I have grown beyond these things? Shouldn't I have outgrown certain things? Right? That's A. Kfira, or even thoughts of heresy, or kiyotzebay, parentheses, why should we not be upset about that? Because anachnu lo tzadikim, let's face reality. To put it in popular terms, we ain't tzadikim. Halavai sheniyah beninim, halavai we should try to be beninim. Banu lo'olam, we came to this world kedei lihisgaber al hamachshavos hallelu. The very purpose that we came to the world is to struggle with these thoughts. So where do we come off thinking that we should be beyond these thoughts, if the very purpose of our existence is to battle these very thoughts themselves? Okay? This is a phenomenal, concise, he's gone through four chapters already. What's more, why not to be astounded or to be totally confused and upset about the fact that most of these thoughts, as does most of our thinking period, come to us in the middle of davening? Says Adrabe, quite the contrary. The very fact that thoughts like this come to us during davening is meichicha, that proves she is palanu commission talk, that our davening was as it needs to be. Because if that was not the case, that our davening was worth something, our animal soul would never get into the business of trying to confuse us. The very fact that he's coming to attack us now means that we're davening somewhat decently, and that's why he's coming to attack us, because he doesn't want to let us daven that way. Absolutely. So rather than being an insult, it is the ultimate compliment about the quality of our avodah. Really, you're getting bombarded by thoughts? Well, obviously you're doing something right.
I heard any time that something comes to distract us like this, amazing opportunity to be Miss Powell for something for ourselves, because...
When you overcome?
Yeah, when you overcome it.
Makes sense. All right, next paragraph. Now let's deal with another thing, and that is apathy. That is the feeling of depression that comes as a result of the fact that we just don't feel. We're numb. Hisbano, we explained, how do we break open our hearts? The result of that broken heart will attain five rungs of joy. Number one, simcha mikach shiyash lonu nefesh alikis, joy from the fact that we have a godly soul. Ubechol mitzvah anu meitziyem aysa mehagolus shalom, and every time we say a word of kedusha, every time we say a word of Torah, every time we say a bracha, every time we do a mitzvah, we are removing the godly soul from its galus within us. We are freeing it from its prison. One reason to have simcha. How many times a day can we do that? Hundreds, thousands of times. Beis, another reason for simcha. Simcha mikach shiesh l'neshama esaf sharus l'kaim yirida l'tzorech aliyah. The joy that stems from the fact that the neshama has the ability to fulfill the concept of a descent in order to ascend, and to express itself in this dark world in the method of Torah and mitzvahs. Gimel, simcha mikach, shakadosh baruch hu nimtza b'chol makom, joy from the fact, this is a Baal Shem's teaching, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is everywhere. And we have the ability, even in the darkest dungeon of life, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That place could not exist were it not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining it right now. And therefore, no matter how dark it is, no matter how lousy I've been, this matziv that I'm in is being sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, I'm just a step away from connecting to Hashem. Four. Simcha mikach shu sameach kisha'anu b'tpayalim b'tsuras ha'nechayna. Joy from the fact that I can rejoice that I'm acting correctly. And finally, hey, simcha b'kiyum ha'teva mitzvahs, shal yodam anunasim mishkan l'kedusha. The final one, we're going to get into that in a deep way now in today's chapter, and that is joy from the fact that through our fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs, we have the ability to become a virtual shechina, a virtual mishkan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're going to begin chapter 35, which launches a whole new section in Tanya. Now, if you remember, the very opening of the Sefer, Baal Tanya deals with the right up on top, Yaakov, on the top of the shelf there. The Baal Tanya deals with, the Shaar Blot reads, that it's a Sefer to explain the Pasuk of Ki Karev Elach HaDavar Ma'od Beficha U'Bilvavcha La'Asayse, that this matter is exceedingly close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, la'asoysoy, to do it. We're now going to focus on what is this la'asoysoy about? What's the doing? Why is doing important? And the real fundamental question is, that we're going to deal with, is that it's time for us to wake up and realize that it's unlikely that any of us are going to be Bali Ruach HaKodesh or Nevi'im. And very little transformation of self is going to happen. Meaning, we're not going to ever arrive at a place that we're not going to have bad thoughts. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to transform our Nefesh HaBahami into a godly soul. So, are we major failures, or was this whole endeavor of humanity just a bad idea? Okay? Paragraph of the day, page 86.
You're saying constantly?
Yeah.
Well, he has no problem saying occasionally you can change it.
No question.
So he's talking about
you'll, exactly.
If the thoughts
total
are
transformation.
The fact that they come in.
Here we go. Vine. Letoiz viz biotevas la soise. in order to understand additionally the meaning of the word in the pasuk la'as, so you say to do it. V'gam lavamat mizeya tachlis b'riyas habeinim, to understand a little bit the goal, the purpose of why did Hashem bother creating beinim. V'yiridas nishmaseim le'lamazeh, and why he took holy souls and put them into this world, lis labish, up to the top of mem dalet. B'nefesh habahamiyash me'aklipa v'sitracha, why would he take a godly soul and partner it and stick it into a levush, a garment, an expression of the other side? After all, we will never get rid of this animal soul. He's going to be with us as long as we're alive. What's more, we're not going to be able to move it from its place, in the left chamber of the heart, as we discussed earlier, in such a way that it will stop sending nasty messages from its dwelling place in the left chamber into our brains. Because the essence of the animal soul, which comes from the other side, it's in its optimum strength, just like it was created. It's not going to be eradicated, it's not going to be changed. So what's the point? Rock. Only thing we could hope for, the best we could hope for, is shalavushel ena mislabshem begufam kanal. As he explained earlier, the person, the Beinoni, doesn't allow the animal soul expression, meaning it's as strong as ever. It tries, sends, bombards the person with thoughts all the time. But as far as pursuing those thoughts, the Beinoni doesn't allow it. It certainly doesn't allow it to speak forbidden speech. And, of course, it doesn't allow the animal soul to express itself in action. Okay? Ve'im kein. But that being the case, why did Hashem send these souls down to this world? Legal the rik, to struggle for nothing? Chas v'shalom? Li'lochem kol yameim im ha'yetzer, to battle all of its days, every day, all day long, with one's yetzer? Li'yachlulo, and never to win? V'tihi zois nechmosam l'nachmam b'kiflayim. This should be the consolation, to console them doubly. L'toshia, for salvation, with the sameach libam b'Hashem, and to rejoice with Hashem ha'shoichen itam b'soich toirosam v'avedosam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells within each one of us in our fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs. V'hu back to Mloshana Yenuka. I want to introduce this with the language of the Yenuka in the Zohar Parshas Balak, al pasuk al chacham eino bereishit. Pasuk says, the wise man, his eyes are in his head. Says the Zohar, v'chi ba'an asar yunei debarnash, where else are a person's eyes, if not in their head? Elekro hochi hu vadai ditnan lo yahach ba'anash b'giluyu dereisha arba amis. We learn that no person is allowed to walk 4 cubits without a yarmulke. Okay? My time, why not? The Shechinta Sharya al Reishay. Because the Shechinta dwells upon a person's head. V'kayim al Reishay, and it exists there. V'kad inuya tamon lindadu nahira da'adlik al Reishay. And the person who looks into this to know that this light is lit on his head, it's tarech lemishcha, that for that light it requires oil. Begin to gufa de banash I psila, because the person's body is a wick. Unohaira adlik le'ela, and there is a light lit above. Ushloima malka. Tzavach va'omar, and King Solomon cries out and says, "V'shemen al reishcha al yechzer." There should not be lacking any oil. Because the flame that's burning on the person's head requires oil. You can't have a flame without oil. So what's the oil? The inun Uvdo'in tavo'in. The oil are good deeds, good actions. Derech, this is what it means. Achacham enov b'roishay adkan l'shayna. This is what the Zohar says. So we are a wick. Hashem lights a flame. We have to provide the oil. And the oil are good deeds. Stressing deeds, dafka, action. We need to understand, what is this parable? Shehim shel or ha-shechina, that he talks about the light of the shechina, the or ha-ner, to the light of a candle, a lantern. She'en emeya v'nechaz b'psila, that it won't hold on to the wick, b'li shemen, without oil. V'kach, and so too, ein ha-shechina she'ero guf ha-adam, the shechina will not dwell on the body of a person. She'nim shel b'psila, it's compared to a wick. Ela al yidei ma'isim tovim dafke. It requires deeds. After all, we have something much holier than deeds. What about the neshama? The neshama is a chelik elikayim imal. The neshama is made up of godliness itself. Why is that not enough to illuminate the light? It's not adequate just with the neshama. For it, for the neshama to be the wick for this lantern. Is mevoyer umuvan likol maskil. This is obvious to anybody who thinks. Kine nishmas ha'odam afilu hu tzadik gomor. The neshama of a Jew. Even if the person is a total tzaddik, who is oivid Hashem, b'yir b'yavo, who serves Hashem with awe and with love, b'tanugim mamish ahava, b'tanugim, the love of serving Hashem. Aval pikein, despite that, eina b'teile b'metzias ligamri, libato v'likolel b'or Hashem mamish. Next page, 88. Despite his burning love and his awesome fear, it's not total bittul. There's not total nullification of self. Lias la'achodim, to become one, umiyuchodim b'yichud gamer, to become a total unified with Hashem. Rak, by definition, he says, hu davar b'fnei atzmai. The greatest tzaddik who's burning in desire has to have independence. Yirei Hashem v'yahave, because it is he, capital H, who loves Hashem and fears Him. There's a me. That me loves Hashem. That me has fear of God. To the degree that there's a me, there's a lack of bittul. There's a lack of self-nullification. Okay? Contrast that with mitzvahs. That's not the case with mitzvahs and good deeds. When we do an action mitzvah, we are actively doing total Ratzon Hashem. Totally nullifying ourselves completely and totally to the will of Hashem. And Hashem's will, using that term, dafka rotzayin, is the source of everything that exists in the world. Everything that exists in the world, after all, has HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustaining it. But all of those things, everything that exists in the world, is only here with a godly spark that has gone through millions or billions of transformations before that being came into existence. So it's completely covered over millions and millions of times. Until that matter was able to come into existence, something from nothing. But it becomes something unto itself. Due to the fact that it has its own existence, it will not be nullified. It won't cease to exist in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma she'ein kein ha-mitzvahs. This is not the case with a simple mitzvah. She'em pnimius ritzoyna yizbarach. A mitzvah is the deepest inner desire of Hashem. The Ein Sham Hestipanim Klal, there is no concealment whatsoever when we put on our tefillin. It is Ratzon Hashem, absolute, pure, godly will and desire. No concealment, no covers, it's straight Ratzon Hashem, nothing in the way. Elo miyuchad, it is an absolute unity. V'nichla b'ritzayna Yisbarach, he is completely, in, at that moment, totally wrapped up in Hashem's Ratzon. V'hayu l'achad mamesh b'yichud gamer, there is no intimate, no greater unity than a Jew who is fulfilling a mitzvah at the time that he is fulfilling that mitzvah. V'hinei. He says, I want you to understand, right? Pretty much the center of the page. What is this concept of Shechina? We use the term all the time. The Shechina of Hashem. What is this? Defines the Baal Tanya. Shechina is defined by the revelation of Hashem. The infinite energy of Hashem, be'ezadavr, in something. I know, that is to say, where can there be gilui shechina? She'esay davar nichlal bar Hashem, at a moment that something, or some person, or some place, is completely enveloped with the energy of Hashem, ubotalei b'metzias, and any self at that moment ceases to exist. At that moment when other agendas are out of the way and all there is the presence of Hashem, then there's Gilui Shechina. Anything that is not at that moment completely nullified to Hashem, at that moment that there is a barrier of some sort, that there's an agenda of some sort, that there's any zich other than that, then the light of it, the energy of Hashem cannot dwell there. Therefore, the af tzaddik omer, even a complete tzaddik, Shem is dabik by b'yahav rabba, who is cleaving to Hashem with awesome love, hare les machshav v'tvisa beklal, the fact still remains that no thought can grasp him, meaning to Hashem, ki amitas Hashem alikim emes, hu yichud v'achdusay, shu levadehu v'efes, the Eves, Bilade Mamish. We know that Hashem is infinite. And there's nothing but Him. But if a human being is losing himself in a Hava to Hashem, there is a limit there. Because it ultimately will be subject to whatever is my level of a Hava is. It's still subject to what I understand of God. That's a terribly limited scope. Hashem is infinite. And as great and as big as that tzaddik might be, his grasp is still going to be very, very finite. Now, v'imkein, zeh ohev, that lover, shu yesh, he has self, v'lo yefes, he's not nothingness, is leis machshava delay tvisa beklal, that person's got absolutely no grasp in God at all. V'ein ar Hashem shayim eskalaboy, and the only way for the true, infinite, or the infinite energy of Hashem to be revealed in a human being is only one way. Is Ela Ayde Kiyum HaMitzvah. The only way is active fulfillment of a mitzvah. Why? Shehen Ritzoynei V'Chachmos Yisbarach Mamish. Because a mitzvah is Hashem's desire and Hashem's wisdom, literally, B'li Shom Hestepan, without any concealment. Now, he's going to make a very interesting contrast between doing mitzvahs, action mitzvahs, and the study of Torah, which is also a mitzvah, but it's not an action mitzvah. It's a speech and thought mitzvah, right? And we know that the Mishnah says the Talmud Torah is connected kulam. But from a one vantage point that we're going to see now, that action mitzvahs ultimately, and even in halacha, take precedence, meaning as follows. When it comes time to shake the lulav and esrig, and you're learning Torah, you got to put down the sefer. You got to go do the mitzvah. Well, that shows you that the action mitzvah takes precedence, right? Now, when a person is studying Torah, then at that moment, his soul, im shnei levusha apnimim levadam, with the two inner levusha, what are the two inner garments? Thought and speech. Shem koyach hadibur machshava, at that moment, to the top of page of Memhei, nichlolos ba'aron Hashem ein sof baruch hu. At that moment, the thought and the speech are completely unified with Hashem. Umiyuchadus by biyuchud gaman, they are completely unified with Hashem, and therefore vihi ashras hashchina al nafshah the kiss, and as a result, the person becomes a dwelling place for the shchina upon his godly soul. Notice which soul has it? The godly soul, not the animal soul, because the animal soul expresses itself in action. So when a person studies Torah, he's connecting only part of himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemar v'chazal, and we see this clearly in the words of Chazal, that say, Shafilu ha'achad sh'yoshev ha'isik b'Torah shechina ima. Even if one person sits and studies Torah, the shechina is with him. However, but if we want to draw the shechina not only to our godly soul, but also upon our body and upon our animal soul that causes our body to live, shiachiyunis, it is the energy, hamulaveshes begufa, contained in the body, mamish, well then, tzorach lekayim mitzvahs ma'asiyus, in order to do that, that requires action mitzvahs, hanasim ha'idei aguf mamish, that require the action of the body. Why? She'oz, because then, koyach aguf mamish shebarasiyazu, the energy of the body involved in doing this mitzvah and wrapping these tefillin, is nichlal b'yor Hashem. They become completely absorbed in the energy of Hashem, v'ritzoyna in his desire, u'meyuchad by, they become wrapped up with the kshchina b'yichud gomer, v'hu levush hashlishi, that is the third garment, shel nefesh, or the kiss of the godly soul, the accomplishment of that is that even the animal soul and its energy source, Shemiklipa's noiga, that comes from this power of klipa, nishapech meira litoiv, at that moment that we are fulfilling a mitzvah, it is transformed from evil to good, v'nichla mamish b'kedusha, and it becomes completely absorbed into the realm of Kedusha, Kenefesh, or the Kis Mamish, to the same degree that the godly soul can be. Why? Only the animal soul can fulfill an action mitzvah. Shebelader, without the animal soul, the godly soul has no impact on the body at all. Because the godly soul is completely spiritual. And the body is completely physical. The only thing that is able to connect them is the animal life-giving soul. That's contained in our blood, in our bloodstream. And in the entire body. So at the moment that a Jew is doing an action mitzvah, the animal soul and its energy and the whole body becomes a makom hashchina. It becomes, and that can't happen with spiritual mitzvahs. It can't happen with the love of Hashem. It can't happen with the awe of Hashem. It can't happen with the study of Torah. It can only happen in the fulfillment of physical action mitzvahs.
If you're learning Torah, right, the Yetzer Hara, or whatever you want to say, is going to try and stop you from doing.
No so question.
Then you are challenged. It's not a purely spiritual thing. It's an animalistic. You know, go and turn on the egg and it's this. It's stopping you from doing it. So therefore, aren't you trying to challenge your animal soul?
Okay. What you're pointing to, let me put it into the terms that we've used already. You're talking about the accomplishment of Iskafia, what he referred to as the overcoming of evil. No question that goes on with the study of Torah. Here he's just pointing to the concept of total bittul. He's not saying it doesn't involve a challenge or a struggle. No question that there's a tremendous overcoming of darkness that takes place when a person studies Torah. All of that is true. The one element he's pointing to is the concept of Gilui Shechina. Gilui Shechina takes place when there's total bittul. That aspect of total bittul takes place only in the fulfillment of a physical mitzvah. Now, but he goes back to point out what we would all imagine, that if that would be the case, that there should be a transformation. Wouldn't you imagine that after becoming a dwelling place for the Shekhinah a million times in my life, doing a million physical mitzvahs, that it would become a more godly place? Anechting tog, it doesn't happen.
How long does it last for?
Only while you're doing the mitzvah. Now, he makes that very clear. Even though the essence of the physical soul that's in his heart, which is all of us and our bad qualities, they do not become part of the realm of holiness. Nonetheless, since at that moment they are subdued to Kedusha, and against their will, they're forced to go along for the right. And they are forced to acknowledge, and they are willing, they become willing parties in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. How? Because momentarily the godly soul that's in the mind wins. It has a victory. It's able to control the heart. So therefore, the force of evil within us is asleep at the wheel. While we're busy doing mitzvahs, it goes into what we call in the Mac world sleep mode. Well, the kach ein zu minia me'ashrois hashchina aguf ha'odom b'shozu. Therefore, they do not get in the way of the dwelling of the Shechina at the time that the person is doing the mitzvah. Da'ainu, shekoyach nefesh hachiyunis hamalovish basiyas hamitzvah hu nichlo mamish bar Hashem. I want you to understand that the power of the animal soul that was contained in the fulfillment of the mitzvah becomes literally part and parcel of the Ur Hashem and becomes totally unified b'yichud gomer during the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And by doing this, mamshich ha'orah the klolos nefesh achiyunis, it becomes a draw of illumination to the entirety of the person's animal soul, shebechol haguf, over the entire body, v'gam haguf hagashmi, even to the point where the physical body itself, not just the energy source, but the body itself, becomes kodesh, b'pchinis makif melamayla, it hovers above the body becomes enveloped in Kedusha, Mirushif Adraglav, from head to toe. V'zeshiksiv, this is what it means, V'shchinta Sharya Areshe, the Shechina dwells on his head, Al Daika, on him, doesn't transform him. V'chena Kolbe Asara Shinta Sharya, the same concept, every time you have 10 Jews together, the Shechina dwells upon them, not in them, upon them, it becomes a makif. Now, he says, I want you to remember one fundamental issue in closing, and that is that as many different places as there is Gilui Shechina, it doesn't change God. It's not like the Rebbeinu Shlomo has to uproot himself and he changes, or there's more of him and less of him. Any time we're speaking about the drawing of the Ur of the Shechina, Shubchin is Gili Ur and Seif Baruch Hu, which is to reveal Hashem's energy. It is not a change in God, nor an increase in God. An Apikurus said to him, Gamliel, Amritu kol be'asora Shechin Tasharia. You guys say that every time there's a minion, the Shechina dwells there. Kama Shechina is there? How much Shechina is there in the world? Ve'eshiv lois, from Gamliel said to him, Moshel me'ar HaShemesh. He said, I'll give you a parable from the light of the sun. Hanichnis b'chalenis ram. So as many shades as you'll open and the sun comes in, are you increasing the sun? No, you're just letting him into more places. a maskil yoven, and every thinking being understands that every time we use the terms gilui shechina, we're just opening the shades. We're letting the light of the shechina reveal itself in another spot. But the change is in us. The change is not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, we learned a phenomenal thing here, and that is that the next step here is understanding that even if we don't transform ourselves, we are accomplishing the purpose of creation by allowing ourselves to become a dwelling place for the Shekhinah every time we fulfill mitzvahs. If we're studying Torah, then we're makim gilui Shekhinah in our spiritual kaiches, in our thought, in our speech. And when we fulfill physical mitzvahs, we become a makim gilui Shekhinah even on our physical bodies. And albeit the minute we're finished with the mitzvah, we go back to being the same animals we were beforehand. But while we were fulfilling that mitzvah, we were a makim hashras hashchina. Yeah.